The following podcast has been brought to you by Badger Club. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Banter Club proudly brings to you, it is I, one half of your longest reigning tag team champions of the world, the Angel of Death 6XL. And joining me as always,
that would be I, your other half of the longest reigning Ramble Mania tag team champions of all the times, TJ the Great. TJ the Great.
TJ the Grapefruits.
That too. Of course, we are the Banter Club, and we are here, as you can see, to discuss Monday Night Raw from 1998. We are once again back in the Wayback Machine. It is another episode of Banter Club Retro.
And speaking of the Wayback Machine, your cat has been doing something straight off the 90s. You know what that is?
What?
I get knocked down. Knock it up again. If you're ever going to keep me down, I get knocked down.
She has been tub thumping. she has been acting like a chumbawamba, whatever.
If you're ever going to keep me down.
Acting like she'd been drinking a whiskey drink and a vodka drink and a lager
drink.
I'm drinking vodka.
That motherfuckers was hanging out with Steve Austin.
Yeah, they was going crazy during that song. That's why they was getting knocked down and getting up again.
Yep. Probably said some foul shit to somebody at the bar. Got their ass whooped.
Yeah, stop drinking so much of them whiskey drinks.
I drink a vodka drink. I drink a whiskey drink.
But yes, we are back in 1998. We are on the road to WrestleMania 14. We're checking out Monday Night Raw. The World Wrestling Federation. Mm-hmm. We're currently on the road to No Way Out of Texas, their next In Your House event. This about marks the point where they started doing, traditionally, year after year, a pay-per-view in between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. It used to be, like they said, the Big Four and just the Big Four. But over the years, they've been expanding their pay-per-view schedule. And now here we are with the big February show. Oh, she's back. See? Just like I said.
She got knocked down. She gonna get up again.
We're never gonna keep you down.
Nope.
And we're not trying. Why don't you just go stay up? She don't want to. She want to go back and forth. But yes.
She said, fuck your television show.
Right? I'm here to do what I want to do. I'm here to hang around.
She's here to drink a vodka drink and drink a whiskey drink.
But yes, we are on that road to WrestleMania. And No Way Out is the next pit stop. So we ready to get to it with the retro business.
Man, you know Groove is in my heart.
Yes. Oh, that's super retro. That's early
Groove
90s.
Is in
yeah, that's even further back than we've gone.
Even though this is in my belt, are you ready?
I am ready. That is about the design.
Okay. I said, are you ready?
I am ready. These are the guys that's really cooking right now.
It's about damn time. Then, for the thousands in attendance.
You know.
And the millions watching at home.
Yeah.
And for whatever the fuck Don Callis is talking about.
Yo. Yo.
Ooh. Get ready to banter.
Monday Night Raw, February 9th, 1998, from Evansville, Indiana. This show opens with Sonny dressed as Marilyn Monroe singing Happy Birthday to Classy Freddie Blassie. It's like a little Sonny video package, Marilyn Monroe style. What a gift, I guess, for Classy Freddie Blassie for his 80th birthday.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, shit. What are we going to do for Freddie? Oh, I got it. How about we have
Sonny's hot ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to love that. No, Vince, everyone's not a pervert like you. That's why
you... Fat Timer make another one just for me.
That's why you where you at right now, Mr. Fucked.
That was the culture. They just decided to make a sexy Marilyn Monroe video for one of their old guys.
Yes,
because they could.
Yep.
That was the culture of it back then. Glad to see Sonny's okay at any rate. As was the style at the time. But glad to see Sonny's okay after she was crying her eyes out last week over the Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie incidents.
I mean, she was out there crying last week and boo-hooing to death. And then this time she was out here looking like, I don't know, butter pecan chocolate deluxe. Even caramel sundaes were getting touched. She was definitely French vanilla. But
it was dessert out here. That's a fact.
Ice cream.
We gonna talk about Sunny later on.
Whoop,
sunny days whoop, indeed. Whoop. Now we follow that with a dramatic recap of last week's main event with DX and the New Age Outlaws jumping Stone Cold Steve Austin. They run back the bit of Sean when Austin is tied up in the ropes and Sean just going, "This isn't Austin." And they just repeat that bit like they did every promo in the fucking 90s.
That was their gimmick. That's what they did.
This is it. This isn't Austin. This is it.
With this epic music in the Austin. Background.
They built it as the most epic fucking...
This is it, Austin. Oh, God.
It was so much back then. Every WWF promo package was like that back then.
Yep. But to us, that was like cutting edge technology.
Right. It just reinforced that this was the most epic shit on television at the moment. Like, yo, I remember that 7 days ago when Sean did that to him.
A whole lot of 90s shit.
Hell yeah. It was classic.
Mm-hmm.
And then we opened the show proper with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
The pop this month. And it was muffled Steve Austin theme song this week.
Yeah. It's still the older version.
Yeah.
He comes down to the ring. Big old white trash bag in hand, over as all hell, as one would expect.
I thought it was a towel. Oh, okay. Yeah, but some type of some type of sack.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks kind of like a big sack, but he has something. He has brought something with him, I guess is the point. When he gets in the ring, he grabs the mic, he says, "You don't just come out on national television and rub a damn belt in Steve Austin's face. That's just something you don't do." He's upset about that.
He got sassy.
Yeah. He says, "This Sunday, there's no way out. And you damn right, there's no way out of Texas because Stone Cold Steve Austin wants a piece of your ass, Shawn Michaels."
Sus. Yeah.
That's what he said.
"You want a piece of his ass, Steve?"
He wants a piece of his ass. And he said, in addition to that, he doesn't want to wait that long. He says, "You bring your long-haired ass."
What is this beef with long hair? What the fuck is this beef with long hair?
"You and Triple H bring your little long-haired asses out to this ring right now."
This motherfucker is stupid long hair.
Yeah. DX doesn't.
You had stupid long hair, and it was thinning. It was bad.
Yeah, that I guess that's why.
That's why you mad.
Yeah, cut that shit. But Sean and Triple H are on the Tron. They're in the locker room. Sean says, "I got news for you, Iceman." He says, "The Heartbreak Kid knows how to pull your string, son."
That's where he got his name from, by the way.
Yeah, Iceman. That was the original intent of the character.
No, not Chuck Liddell. Shut up.
Yes, no. Much before Chuck Liddell rolls to fame.
Mm-hmm.
But Sean says, "You don't call the shots around here. I do. And you'll get a piece of the Heartbreak Kid, but only when I say so." You know, I feel like Sean was kind of fucked up here.
Yep.
He was talking at like 3/4 speed.
Yep. He sounded a little slow.
But Austin says, "I'll give you a reason to come out, son, because I know you wouldn't come out ordinarily because I'd beat your damn ass. But now... I got your belt."
And he's like, "No, it's not. That's not my belt. My belt is right." It was a fucking toy.
He pulled out a toy, and then Shawn, he gets pissed off, and as Austin pulls out the actual WWF championship, yep. And Shawn's like, what do you think you're doing? You
the, don't the take one that belongs I was wearing, to me. With a black strap.
Yeah, black strap. Austin, he pulls out the belt. He's walking around within the ring. He says, I'll be out here all night, son. If you want your belt back, you just got to bring your ass out to this ring. But you're going to have to ask me real nice, and that's the bottom line. Why?
And because Stone Cold said so. The crowd said it.
Yeah, he let them say it this time.
Yeah. And it's weird. That's how you know this is proto Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Where he's still, you know, smoothing it out because he's still using the fans kind of sort of here and there.
Yeah.
Towards the end, it's like, he's just like, and that's the bottom line because Stone Cold. And nobody else fucking, they just say it with him.
Yeah.
Because he's not, he's, when he says that now, it's like, oh, shit. You know, somebody going to die.
Yeah. And I like that it seemed like last week he realized, oh, they say it when I say it.
Yep. So he's like, let me give him a second. Let me see if they say it.
Yeah, let me let him fly with it. Mm-hmm. Classic Stone Cold Steve Austin bits here. I've bamboozled you and stolen your shit, you sorry bastard. You're going to have to get it back from me. Classic Stone
always,
Cold.
He's always, see what I'm saying? That's why hood niggas fuck with Stone Cold. He do
he was
shit
always only, doing this shit.
Yeah, he's doing shit that motherfuckers from the street do. Like, we know, like, word, say less.
Oh, so you think you're going to fuck with me? All right.
Say less. I got you.
They hype up that they're going to show clips from the WrestleMania press conference in New York City at the All-Star Cafe. Then they hype up that Raw is brought to you by Foot Action and Skittles. Taste the rainbow.
It was all about the gimmicks back in the day.
Yeah.
Now they're not fun anymore when they pitch the gimmicks.
Yeah.
They actually just usually show a video and that's the end of it.
Yeah, we don't need to have the commentators do a fun ad. Here's just a video. Here's a commercial spot. That's how you know it was super early in that, because it was Kevin Kelly that did the Skittles bit here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sonny comes down to the ring to do special guest ring announcer for the next match. And
you know you want her?
She not lying.
I know you want me. With this
coming out the way she's looking like she was looking right here. She's not lying.
But listen, that voice, nails on the chalkboard, baby.
Yeah, and she sounds like she might have had one or two before she came out.
Nails on the chalkboard, bro.
Looks fantastic, though. But
looks amazing.
She looked incredible. But she does ring announcer for the next match. Mm-hmm. Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, Hulk and Animal versus NWA's Jeff Jarrett and Barry Windham. And I literally write, oh my God, why the hell are we starting with the goddamn NWA? I'm turning to Nitro.
Damn.
Because God damn it, man.
I mean, but it's the Road Warriors, though.
I know. I love the Road Warriors, but damn.
That's why I was like, yeah, Road Warriors. They came out with their awesome ass entrance. Durr, 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 durr. Yeah. All tough and fucking shoulders the size of bowling balls and all that cool shit.
Yeah, yeah. And once again, even though the company's trying to tell you that they're old and possibly washed at this point, they're still pretty over when they do their stuff.
Everything they do, the crowd goes nuts.
Everything they do, the crowd goes nuts. But everything you hear from commentary is, man, this is a turning point for the Legion of Doom. They've been on a losing streak. We got to see if they can keep up with the tag teams of today. They're just, damn, man.
Shut the fuck up. Let him cook, B.
Edible power slams Windham, gets the hot tag to Hawk, and then they get Jarrett in the corner, but he sends Hawk outside, and then the Rock and Roll Express just start fucking jumping this man while Earl Hebner very pointedly looks away.
Yep.
And they're loud as hell, too. They throw him into the steps, beating him with shit. Earl Hebner got to look away while they noisily jump this man.
He got to play dumbass. Yeah.
Then they throw him back in the ring. Jarrett puts on the figure four. But then Bradshaw just runs out and chases all the NWA guys off. And the ref calls for the bell and it's a DQ.
And then, the way Sonny announces, she's so like dejected that the NWA guys won.
Yeah, she's like, oh, the winners are Jeff Jarrett and Barry Windham.
And puts her head down.
And then she looks over at the LOD like, I'm sorry.
Yep, and they're like, it's some more bullshit. Fucking Bradshaw.
Yeah. It got me thinking, though, like, that's got to be happening soon, right? LOD 2000?
Yeah. Yeah. WrestleMania. At WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania. That's when it pops off. So, yeah. Maybe they looked at it here like, hey, maybe we got something with this.
WrestleMania 14, that was the time.
So they're talking about what can fix the LOD. Eventually, we're going to see that the thing that could potentially fix them is Sonny. Shout out to the Dude Love is a Pimp sign in the crowd. Straight out of commercial break. You see, Dude Love is a pimp.
He really is, though. He really is.
Yeah.
When he first popped up and the girls started hugging him and shit?
Yeah, that was dude's whole thing. He's a cool cat for the ladies.
His fingers taped up, so it was like...
Yeah, he always had two girls with him doing his bullshit. Yeah, dude was the guy. Mm-hmm. We come back from break. Sean is still bitching. He wants to go get the belt. But apparently, China's like, she whispers to them. She's like, I got a plan, all right? Meanwhile, Triple H the whole time is like, shut the camera off.
Shut it the fuck off, man.
Shut it off, man.
And this is how you know this is young Triple H.
Yeah.
Old Triple H would have broke the fucking cameraman.
He just said it once.
Not the camera. The cameraman.
Man, he'd have just beat the shit out of the cameraman. But young Triple H, cut it off, right?
Stop it.
Get out of here.
You're such a douchebag.
Now we got Pierre with Jacques, the Quebecers, versus Henry Godwin.
Fucking Pierre was a fucking mile wide, bro.
Yo, Pierre was a big boy and apparently was always crazy.
Just.
Yeah. So Jacques has a slot bucket because apparently this is a feud from Shotgun Saturday Night.
Yep.
Which. To me, putting Shotgun feuds on Raw in the middle of the Monday Night War is crazy to me. WCW probably got like Dean Malenko or some shit on right now.
Yep. But to be honest, I mean, this wasn't a bad match.
Nah, this wasn't a bad match at all. Mainly because fucking PCO is in here being PCO.
Fucking savage. Fucking
Pierre sends Godwin outside and does a fucking dive over the top to the floor. Kevin Kelly is like 280 pounds diving like that. I'm like, what the hell wrong with this dude? He's always been a crazy fucker. Follows up with a top rope leg drop for a near fall. Then he goes for a swanton, but Henry moves. Pierre outside.
Nuts.
He hits the ropes, but then Jacques hits him with the bucket. So Pierre goes for the cover. Phineas hits him with the bucket, and Henry gets the pin for the 1, 2, and 3. I kind of like the finish. Yep.
I hated Henry's shirt, but let's not talk about that.
Yeah, less sad.
It was different times. But yeah.
Different times. Pierre being a maniac and just doing dives and shit was pretty cool.
PCO, ladies and gentlemen.
PCO, fucking PCO. He was working like PCO in 1998.
That's why they kept him around so long. That motherfucker was nuts.
Yeah, because I fucking forgot. I'm sure shit forgot the Quebecers around before we started doing this, but they are around and they're doing shit.
They've been doing shit since we started. Yep.
Yeah. Now we got China. She's storming around. Then she walks up on the Boricuas. They're chilling at their table.
I guess they're playing cards or some shit. Leave the Boricuas alone, man. She's always bugging the Boricuas, man.
China runs up and fucks up their whole little game. And they're like, yo, what
they
the
was
fuck?
Playing bones, B. They was playing bones.
But she was speaking Spanish to them. Like, hey, I need you to do something for concerning Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, but more or less what she said was like, look, I need your help again. I'll pay you handsomely just like last time. Everything is going to be clean. I just need your help. And they were like, all right, fuck it, man. We're going to get paid. All right, fuck it.
Yeah, you're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
So they all walk off together. And then we go into the Western Union Rewind, which was last week in the war zone. The same clip they opened the show with. Austin in the ropes. Sean holding up the belt. This is it. This is it, Austin. And oh, shit. The song that just played popped me so big. It's Too Sexy. Brian Christopher. And this goofy fucker comes out to the ring with Pantera. It's Brian Christopher and
not
Pantera.
That Pantera.
No, which would be crazy if it was, but no.
Imagine.
Oh, but yes, Brian Christopher and Pantera versus Taka Michinoku, the WWF Light Heavyweight Champion, and Akira.
WWF brand cruiserweights, nice.
Yes. The We Have Cruiserweights at Home portion of the show.
Yeah, you know, with the big ass green bell pepper sticking out of it.
Yeah.
Not for nothing, though. It was a good cruiserweight match.
Yeah, like, these are good workers. Like, there's no question. It's just, you know, when Rey Mysterio and Juventud Guerrera and all those other guys are on the other channel, and they're getting, like, time and focus, while these guys just get a little pocket on the show, a little containment field, they're never going to match up.
And every story, it just revolves around Jerry's kid.
Yeah, and, like, the only storylines they ever really get in this division are fucking about Jerry's kid. Like, and, like, even in this one, it's supposed to be Pantera versus Taka for the title at the pay-per-view.
Yep.
And the fucking core of the match is Jerry's kid.
Jerry's kid. Yep. Fucking Jim Ross is fucking blowing up.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry's kid. Jerry's
kid.
Jerry Lawler's boy.
Every 5 seconds, the camera's shooting Brian Christopher making a dumb face.
Yeah. I'm the man now. Yeah.
Stupid shit, bro. And you got fucking Akali out here doing fucking course crew fucking moonsaults out to the outside.
All right, these boys are trying to work out here.
Fucking Jerry's kid. Get the fuck out of here, man.
And it's not even that Jerry's kid is bad, because he's not. He's good.
He's not. It's just when you're making the one guy who's related to somebody in your staff's the focal point of all these international superstars, you're full of shit. You're full of shit.
Yeah. He had a skull crusher finale here. Shout out to The Miz.
He did.
Aguilar, of course, is better known in WWF history as S.A. Rios, the name he would take up about a year and change after this.
Yep. That's what they ended up doing with him. But for now, you know what this reminded me of, though? You ever played, like, Road to WrestleMania on fucking WrestleMania 2000?
Yeah.
Why the fuck Brian Christopher is never with Scott Taylor?
Facts. It's always somebody else.
Always in a tag match with somebody else, some random motherfucker.
It's funny because when I heard the song, I was expecting them to come out, like early Too Cool. But I was like, oh no, that's not a thing yet. It's just too sexy, Brian Christopher.
Exactly. Which is why it still has that vibe, though, of like, there's no Too Hot yet.
Yeah. I was waiting
Scott
for Too Hot,
but Taylor,
he ain't hot enough yet.
not yet. But for now, you know. Yeah. But shout out to WrestleMania 2000 for doing this exact thing where he just never teams up with Scott Taylor. Fucking Brian Christopher with a headbanger bill.
We come back from the break. They did a break in this match. Mm-hmm. Brian Christopher's got his crazy face heat on. He Taka gets the hot tag, takes everyone out. But Brian pulls out a gimmick from his tights and goes for the punch. But Taka dodges it and he drops the gimmick. But Pantera picks it up, puts it in his mask, and then gets a flying headbutt on Taka.
Yep.
And then Brian Christopher covers him for the win. Who's doing these finishes? These are cheeky finishes.
I know. That's pretty good. It might be let's see. Who would be around at those times?
Like
Bruce
cheeky.
Pritchard was around, but that's not who. It would have been Cornette probably.
These do seem like cheeky, old school Southern style finishes like shit Cornette would do. Yeah.
Might have been Cornette.
But I like
that. That doesn't
like
seem like a pat finish at all.
Yeah.
Pat finishes are very clean.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. That first one was just a DQ, but these last two finishes were cheeky finishes.
They were funny shit. And the thing too is like in the before this match started, they were showing like clips of Pantera showing his true colors a la The Weeknd.
He turned heel on these guys.
Yep, and that's why when he used the gimmick, I was like, cheeky little cunt. I knew you were going to do that because you're a heel now.
Yeah. And now that he's a heel, he fucking helps out Brian Christopher because that's who the division revolves around.
Yep. Even though the first ever light heavyweight champion is Taka Michinoku.
Yeah, Taka's the champion, but
and he's the one who everybody's talking about on commentary with the adulation and shit. And
Jim
Ross was actually talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, even though, I mean, Brian Christopher was the bulk of the conversation. You know, you can't blame Jim Ross because Jim Ross was out here also, like, you know, putting over Taka Michinoku and saying that this young man, you know, he got his, you know, his right to come out here and, you know, wrestle in the States and he feels great about it. And, you know, it's all good, man. So it's a weird situation where I'm like commentary focused too much on this guy being Jerry's kid. But when it comes to Jim Ross, he'd be on point with certain things and he kept mentioning all that stuff. You know, all the storytelling with Pantera being, you know, slowly turning diddler. And then all the storyline with Taka coming out here to the U.S. And finally getting a shot and becoming the first ever light heavyweight champion. And then, you know, also talking about, you know, the young athletics that you get from Aguilar. So, you know, I guess, you know, Jim Ross is one of those guys who pays attention to, like, everything, every detail. But still, man, at the end of the day, the focus was on Brian Christopher, which is like, shut the fuck up.
Now we got Western Union presents No Way Out of Texas.
Oh, my God.
And WWF Raw now presents Kane. The current cover boy of WWF Magazine Kane. Which, it's hilarious to me that Kane's on the cover of the magazine. Because like,
I did take that picture.
Yeah. Kane at this point is so evil that he murdered The Undertaker. So how do you get him
this picture?
Yeah, how you get this man to pose for the magazine cover? Well, what was that conversation?
One name. Paul Bearer.
Yeah, Paul Bearer.
So how much you going to pay us? Kane, don't be afraid of the flashes. Just enjoy your time.
You just stand right there, Kane. Listen to the nice man. Do what he tells you to do.
Don't light him on fire.
No, Kane, we're not going to harm any of these people. These are our friends, Kane.
They're going to pay us handsomely. I'm going to get you that nice steak you wanted.
That's what Kane likes, steak.
Yeah, he likes it flame broiled.
How do you like your steak, Kane? Well done.
On fire.
So we got Paul Bearer. He goes a little Joel Gertner early on. Well. Here we are again, he says. Says everyone's still in shock from when Kane picked up Vader and tombstoned him on his head. And then to top it all off, last week, Vader had the audacity to grab that lethal weapon and try to use it on Kane and try to take out his one good eye. Tried to take out his one good eye with the fire extinguisher. He says, I am sick and tired of hearing, it's time. This Sunday, it's gonna be time. Time for what? Kane time? He never answered that either. He just said, this Sunday, it's gonna be time.
Time to light him on fire, because, I mean, did you see what Kane did next?
True, because he produces a Vader clock, and then it catches fire. I guess Kane is practicing his fire bending.
Yeah, no, he uses fire bending, because he goes like this. Nice. And then it just caught fire. Yeah. Which we all know there was a button in the back of the clock. He pressed it. It caught fire.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're going to put you out just like, or snuff you out. Sorry. Snuff you
out. You're going to be snuffed out just like that. And then, because there's no way out, Vader. And then he says, for all the leeches of the night that think that The Undertaker is going to show up in Houston, he is gone for all of eternity.
And not at WrestleMania, he ain't.
Yeah, as we know, that's where they're building to.
Mm-hmm.
Undertaker versus Kane. But right now, Undertaker is dead.
Yep. Hit for now.
Yes. And that we see the little credits pop up on the screen, and that's the end of Raw. That's the first hour. It's time for the War Zone. You know they hit that song.
Too much porn and not enough sky.
Yes. I'm looking in the crowd. I've seen Stan 316. I've seen Kyle 316. Yep. I just need Cartman and Kenny to complete the set. And there's a Cartman 316 in a few moments.
In a little bit.
Yeah, so South Park is out here. As usual.
Still to come.
Yes, still to come. They're going to show the WrestleMania stuff. And whole lots more. Jim Ross is hyping up that Austin has the belt, and Shawn Michaels is going to want to face off with Steve Austin tonight. You won't want to miss that. That was their don't turn the Nitro hook.
Yep. Please, so, for whatever you do, just don't.
For God's
don't
sake, please don't watch WCW Nitro. We got so much going on here.
We got Stone Cold. Stone Cold started the show. Stone Cold.
He stole the belt. He stole the damn belt.
They got the dang Puerto Ricans chasing
them. Yeah, the China and the Puerto Ricans are trying to get them.
So You're telling me that one geographic place, China, Puerto Rico, the other geographic place, is trying to get Austin and other geographical places.
That's how much of a menace Austin is. He got China and Puerto Rico after him.
Damn, Austin, Texas, you're doing some shit.
Right, you got a lot going on. But now we got...
See, you're missing Ricky Starks. That's what's
right, shit. But we got Ken Shamrock in chains of the DOA versus The Rock and Farouk of the Nation of Domination.
Yes.
This Sunday at the pay-per-view, it's the Nation versus DOA, which JR calls a war of attrition, which is his way of saying this feud has been going on for a minute. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
And it's still going to go on.
Yep, it's still going to continue to go on.
They just until Nation of Domination folds, it's DOA versus
DOA versus Nation forever. Like this started like what back in October, I think it was September, mm-hmm. October,
and not even because fucking they kind of stopped right after when basically the Nation gets too busy with DX.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, because they got in with the gang war shit and they did the big mm-hmm. deal with the mm-hmm. Nation. And they, yeah, so there was that. But then they went right back to it.
And Los Boricuas, too, were a part of this?
Yeah, feud. Los Boricuas got involved. Yeah, that was the gang wars.
Yep.
Yeah, so from gang wars, this has been going. And now we're in February 98. Gang wars was November 97.
Yep, with the Hart Foundation, I think, even.
Yeah, so that's about 4 or 5 months.
Damn.
So Rock gets the mic, and he tries to talk, but the Rocky Sucks chants are going crazy. Rocky sucks. Rocky sucks.
Does the people's eyebrow?
Yeah, he does it. And the Rock is like, The Rock says everyone wants to know how The Rock feels about human genetic cloning. It's fucking...
What are you talking about?
It's fucking random current events, Rock. Here we go again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He says The Rock is in favor of it, but only if it's done selectively. You see, The Rock is looking out across this crowd of people in Evansville, Indiana... And there's no one here that's worthy of being cloned.
That's fucked up.
The only person that's worthy of being cloned in this whole building is the people's champion, the Intercontinental Champion, the best damn Intercontinental Champion
not,
there
not,
ever
not
was.
Not your partners?
The Rock. Not even his partners. Just
not
him.
Your brothers?
Not even none of his brothers. Just him.
We supposed to be brothers, man.
We
what
supposed
the fuck
to be
is
brothers.
He doing?
And here go Rock again with the bullshit.
Fucking it up, man. God damn.
Here he go again. The Rock hit the fucking proto people's elbow during this match. Mm-hmm. And fucking Lawler goes, see, if the real United Nations was like the Nation of Domination, we wouldn't have problems with that Saddam Hussein guy. Bullshit, Jerry. Bullshit. These niggas was arguing last week. Just last week, these niggas was arguing.
That's a fact.
And here they go Rock always, again.
What wasn't it with Kama?
Yeah, Kama and Farouk. And here go Rock again on his bullshit. He about to start another risk.
Starting bullshit, man. Got to be starting something.
It breaks down into a big brawl at ringside. Shamrock hits a big Ronda in the ring, and then I see the Cartman 316 in the crowd. So there you go, 3 or 4. Rock hits Shamrock right in his fucking face with a steel chair. He
clobbered him.
Oh my God, this
he
chair
He did not
shot.
Hold back. He just...
No.
Blow! ECW
and Rock was good
gunshot.
For that. Rock was good
Hell
for that.
Yeah. Fuck, man.
Yeah, he blasted Shamrock with this shit. I was like, oh my God.
And again, once again, the ref just got a...
Yeah, ref got, oh, what's going on?
You didn't hear that gunshot, fam?
Right? Yeah, Shamrock just get murdered.
You deaf?
So Farouk covers.
Yo, if I would have heard a blow and I would have seen one motherfucker dead, I would have been like, what happened here?
Somebody hit somebody with some shit because I know that wasn't a closed fist.
Hell no, nah, that shit said blow. Did somebody shoot somebody?
Yeah. Where the gun? Who had the gun?
Who had the strap? Arn Anderson, you here? Where's Arn Anderson? Arn Anderson, you around?
Yeah, I know, it had to be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Farouk covers Shamrock, gets the win. Shamrock realizes what happened. He goes crazy, fucking suplexes the ref. The fucking his boys try to calm him down. He suplexes Chains.
For no reason. That's his man's.
Right, that's his man's. He suplexed him, so then everybody, like, piles on him and grabs him and calls him down. Chill, chill, chill. Fucking Lawler finds it hilarious. Look at this idiot.
He's freaking out.
He lost his fucking mind. He got smacked in the face with a goddamn steel chair.
Then he eventually calms down, and then he sees what he's done to Chains.
Yeah.
And he looks sad for a second, and he just goes, ah! He screams to the heavens, and then looks dejected. And
fucking Lawler just keeps eating him.
Yeah. You idiot! What's wrong with this guy?
It's like, bro, that's his character. He's a savage. And the crowd pops every time he screams.
Yeah, the crowd loves it when he fucking goes crazy.
He goes, bah! Yeah, fuck you.
And then, you know, he's got his heads in his hand down in the corner. He's upset. Chains looks like he forgave him. Chains was like, it's all good, man. I know it's all good. You just gotta relax.
It's like having Hulk in your team. That's all it is.
Yeah. I know you mad, bro. You just gotta relax sometimes.
Yeah, you gotta turn back to Bruce, bro. Relax.
Yeah. I guess they good, so. We got the ad for WrestleMania. 7 weeks away.
Pew! Ba-doo-ba-doo. Bam-bam.
Little rotating logo and shit.
Bam-bam.
And then we get some clips from the press conference in New York City, the All-Star Cafe. Lawler is putting this over big time. This had to have been the biggest press conference ever in New York City. There were so many cameras and people there.
And press and the newspapers and athletes and...
It's like, that's the normal for New York City,
bro. Shut up, bro.
that's every press conference.
You see all the people in Times Square stuffed in there. Crazy.
Yeah. It did look like a nice big event. Good 90s style.
Hell yeah.
Big press conference. This is where they finally do the announcement on what Mike Tyson is actually going to do and announce him as the special guest enforcer for the match. They did this whole, like, what, 2-3 week build for Mike Tyson's role, and they just announced at the press conference, yeah, he's the ref. He's the enforcer.
Got me mad, though. Fucking the questions these motherfuckers was asking and how they found wrestling to be kind of like a joke or some shit. And that shit pissed me off.
It's funny, like, and Sean and Austin are both firing back, like, trying to make sure they defend their turf, so to speak. Because, they're asking questions like, oh, if one of these guys gets out of line, are you going to handle it, Mike? And Sean is like, well, first of all, he's stepping into our world.
Facts.
If Mike Tyson tries to hit me, I'll lay his ass out right here. So, you know, this is our world he's stepping into. And then Then Austin eventually asks, well, I'll put on the boxing gloves and get in the ring with Mike Tyson and I'll beat his ass because I'm pretty sure I can, son.
I low-key believe you because I heard about that one time that shit happened, but I don't know. That's still speculation to this day. 90s rumors were very bullshit.
Yeah, if you were around back then, there were a lot of crazy fucking urban legends like that back in the day.
Like the warrior was like 20 different people.
Yeah, there was a different warrior after he came back, a bunch of crazy shit like that. So you had to always be careful around them urban legends that you would hear on the playground and shit like that.
Yeah.
They're both cutting promos. Sean calls Austin the Latrell Sprewell of the WWF.
Jesus Christ.
And then he says
Christ.
Vince is PJ Carlissimo. I was like, That's a crazy line. Especially because that's basically what they would become.
Well,
fucking every week.
It's following us, T. It's following us.
That was basically how WWF got on top.
Yep,
having Sprewell choke out PJ Carlissimo every week
every
on TV.
Oh, God.
It was interesting that Mike Tyson, they had the way they framed some of his responses. It was like he was like moving on from boxing and it was like focused on wrestling now.
And he was coming off as kind of like a nice guy, but everybody knows the history of Mike Tyson. So every time he says some nice guy shit, everybody's like,
right, like he's literally trying to rehab his image at this point, but everybody's like, "Man, you crazy!
Shut up, man!
You bit that man air off, you wallet!
You are bugging, my man! You are not who you say you are, brother."
Yeah, so Mike is like, I'm focused on the WWF. I love the WWF. Boxing don't need me. I don't need boxing.
You guys got to be gentlemen. You got.
Mike, he said, this man right here talking about us, he's like, you're an uncouth imbecile, all right?
Uncouth imbecile.
He popped. That popped Vince.
OD Vince was cracking the fuck up. He's like, oh, yeah, you're a big word. Yeah.
Because you're an uncouth imbecile. You can't get along with people. You can't function with people.
Big words, Tyson.
You like the big words?
That's what I say, nigga. That's my words.
That's some shit I would say. I like that. I gotta remember that. Uncouth imbecile.
That's a good lie. And you know the guys were laughing because they were like, "Mike, shut up."
They do a little shoving match with Sean and Austin, and then with Mike in the middle. And then, you know, him and he gives Austin a shove, he gives Sean a shove, and then they both like, "Hey, you don't fucking touch me."
And,
you know,
and then he like hits him harder.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yo, don't fuck with Tyson B, he will fuck your ass up."
Then they show a bunch of clips from all like the classic New York sports stations at that. The NBC, Channel 7, ABC, all
the CNN. This is when they played that clip again. With his WrestleMania pals.
Yeah, it's WrestleMania pals.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
And it's interesting, like, because I was looking at The Observer, and The Observer talked about it, too, how, like, all the media, like, they're getting a ton of media coverage out of this, but the majority of it is condescending as, oh, Mike Tyson has fallen so far these last few years that now he's got to do wrestling stuff. Look at Mike Tyson with this wrestling stuff. That's the tenor of all the news coverage that this is getting.
But if only they knew that some people were not going to pick up on that slight, and they were just going to see Austin and Tyson and Shawn Michaels. Holy shit, I got to watch me some WWF. It's the only way I'm going to see Mike Tyson getting some action.
And for their part, they took the right tack in WWF because they were like, "We don't care. We're getting the publicity. All publicity is good publicity, and we're going to make it work." And they did make it work.
They spin the narrative the same way they've always have.
Yeah. They're like, "You can take your narrative. We're gonna take it and spin it the way we need to spin it." And they spun it exactly how they needed to spin it.
Yep.
Mike Tyson and Steve Austin was like the biggest thing in wrestling that year. And again, like we've been talking about this whole time, it's going to pay off massively for them. So...
for when we do ECW, I'm going to make a white and blue VCR logo.
Ooh, I like it. I like it.
You know why?
Oh, why?
Blue World Order.
Blue World Order. They're taking over. Another thing about this press conference, Mike Tyson, I got some questions about, for one, I think he got a question from... Meltzer talked about this. He got a question from, I think, one of Howard Stern's guys about... how does it feel to be the first rapist to be on WrestleMania?
Whoa. Which
was
a
crazy question. And again, it reminded me that, Mike Tyson was convicted for rape in the 90s.
I didn't even remember that shit.
The Robin Givens thing,
Damn.
I forget. Fuck, it's easy to forget because, you know, he served his time and, you know, whatever. But, Mike Tyson was convicted.
He served his time. He never did anything stupid again.
Yeah. He never did it again after that. So, you know. But he was convicted.
That's wild, bro.
Yeah.
That's wild.
They had that. And there were some questions about him and Don King. And that was another piece of what made the press conference such a headline-grabbing thing. It was coming off the heels of now Mike Tyson is now in the throes of breaking up with Don King. Like, that's now happening at this point.
Yep. Which is why you see that no more Don King on WWF.
They did the one Don King promo the 1 week, and then after that, shit started falling apart between them, and no more.
That was the end of that.
And it's funny because apparently WWF played its part in that relationship breaking off. Apparently, Mike Tyson was due about $3 to $4 million from WWF for this situation here in 98. But apparently, Mike saw that Don King had gotten $300,000 out of this money that he had no idea about. He was like, "How the fuck you get $300,000 of my WWF money?" So that's when the domino started to fall. And eventually Mike Tyson would go on to sue Don King for $100 million.
Insane, bro. Insane. And
to this day, they're not good.
So, yes. Damn.
So they even asked him at the conference, "Hey, there was a rumor that you beat up Don King. Is that true?" Mike denied it. But that's a hot topic at this point. So again, there's all this mostly negative publicity following Mike Tyson around.
And then wrestling.
Yeah. And wrestling is like, fuck it. We'll take it. We'll use it. We're going to make this work. And look, and again, they did. We cut back to Steve Blackman in the ring. with fucking glowing nightsticks. Let's go. And before this,
glow stick yeah, video.
WrestleMania 2000 style. And then before we get to his match, we cut real quick to the back where the Boricuas in China are walking to the men's locker room. So then they stop China at the door. They're like, hey, wait, this is the men's locker room. We'll go in there. And China's like, make the fuck, I don't give a fuck. And she goes inside. So then one of the poor wrestlers walks up to her. He's like, hey, this is the men's locker room.
Who was that?
I don't know.
He looked familiar.
He did, but I couldn't figure out who he was. Yeah. He just runs up to China. He's like, hey, this is the men's locker room. You can't be in here. And she just fucking throws him into his locker like a nerd. Like, shut up. Mm-hmm. Get out of my way. And she fucking runs through the bathroom looking for Austin. Can't find him. So that there's that.
Yeah.
Then we come back to the ring with the Lethal Weapon, Steve Blackman. And he's taking on Recon of the goddamn Truth Commission.
With this weird-ass, wee-woo-ass theme song.
The Truth Commission is such a weird group. And the more this match goes, the more I think about how weird a group this is. But before we get to it, Lawler actually makes a great point about Mike Tyson in that if he's the enforcer, you would want to be on his good side. But both these guys threatened him. Yep. I don't understand.
Yep.
And even JR is like, you're right, King. I don't understand it either. So, yeah. Good point, Jerry.
And but the fact also, that they both went at him means that it's even. Or at least we would have thought.
And it also made me think about the end of the story and that Jerry was right. Because they both ultimately did try to get on his good side. That was funny. That was a nice little bit from Jerry. Little bit of actual insights.
Yep. Back to B squared having a match here.
Yeah, fucking goddamn B. This is Bull Buchanan, ain't it?
This is Bull. This is Recon is B squared.
I always forget that he was Recon.
Yeah, that's Bull Buchanan. Later on, he meets up with, I believe, Big Boss Man. And then after that, he was with Stevie Richards. And after that, he had a little weird gimmick where he didn't really know where to fit in. Then they finally got him with John Cena and they had him as B-Squared.
Mm-hmm. The path of Bull Buchanan throughout the WWE.
Yep.
Then this match starts and then fucking the Jackals music starts. And first we hear him.
Yeah.
Talking. Don Callis starts talking.
Where the fuck is he?
And then we slowly see him appear into frame.
Descending from the sky.
Descending platform.
With a podium and everything. Like, what the fuck?
I had to write down at least some of this bullshit that Don Callis was up here talking.
Because the whole match he was talking. He's
just fucking ranting.
About this his little sister getting upset about Jerry Lawler calling him some shit. And they talk about fornicating the fucking crowd. What the fuck?
I wrote the first part.
Go ahead. But before we do that, TJ, click the button.
Right. I gotta hit the button on him.
You know what I'm saying?
Like the Dark Angel, who himself was cast out of heaven.
What about
me? I now descend into the pit of depravity that is the World Wrestling Federation. And though the pit is fraught with snakes and with rats, I fear not, because I sacrifice myself for all of you. You, wretched refuse of society. You, the soiled masses. You, the troglodytic morons who hang on my every word.
Fuck, troglodytic what?
And I have found it necessary to interject myself into broadcast in this bombastic fashion because of the systematic smear campaign that the WWF has engaged in from
Vince
the very beginning.
Vince wrote this shit.
I have sat back and listened while my little sister cried herself to sleep after hearing Jim Ross liken me to every deranged sociopathic monster who has ever walked the face of the earth.
Like Joseph Stalin.
But my little sister and all my followers out here today, they all know that I am far from a deranged sociopath. Rather, they know me for the spiritualist, the philosopher, and the poet that I am.
Oh, I'm a cult of personality.
At this point, Jerry Lawler goes, he talks more than me. And I realize he's not going to stop, so I'm like, all right, take it over notes.
He's just going and going, and then fucking, the entire time he's talking, you just see fucking Recon and Steve Blackman beat the absolute shit out of each other and smashing into the goddamn steps, and all. And they keep flashing back into the match, back and forth, and I'm just over here like, Jackal, shut the fuck up. Like, man, I'm telling you, this is a dude who's been told in ECW, shut the fuck up. In WWF, shut up. in AEW. Shut the fuck up. He's been getting told to shut the fuck up for years.
For years upon years upon years.
Shut the fuck up.
The crowd in this match starts chanting, shut up.
Yes, I'm telling you.
Shut up.
But this whole thing has made me very bitter. I am bitter and I am jaded. And I would remind you all.
I agree with the fans.
I'm telling you, everywhere that he goes, he gets told to shut the fuck up. Impact Wrestling, shut the fuck up.
He caused the crowd troglodytes for a third time as Blackman puts on a submission.
What the fuck is a troglodyte, my nigga?
As soon as Blackman wins, he stops talking like, what the fuck? This nigga lost?
Yep. then, well, look. Well, you should turn around now. Your guy lost.
JR goes, we apologize for this interruption. At this point, you were interrupting him.
Yeah.
This was his speech.
Oh, God.
Then fucking post-match, Callis gets in the ring and starts yelling at these dudes.
Yep.
He's like, you want to go back to Memphis?
Like if they're not grown-ass men.
Right. He's like, you want to go back to Memphis working for $40, a hot dog and a handshake? You're a disappointment of your wife. You're a disappointment of your children. You're awful. And then he's fucking slaps the shit out of Recon. And Recon looks pissed.
What was that for? What was that?
Sniper is like, hey, what you do that for, huh? What you do that for? And then Jackal just turns his back on him. And then they're both just sitting there like, what the hell is this? The Truth Commission is a crazy gimmick, yo. Got fucking Don Callis out here talking all this philosophical mumble jumbo for three dudes named Recon, Sniper, and Kurgan.
I forgot Kurgan was still here. Oh, God. He's the one who ends up in fucking Weird World.
Right.
With the fucking ICP and fucking... somehow Sable.
Right, shit, this group is the oddities, just the evil version.
It's the heel oddities. It's crazy because later on we get a Luna with Sable, and it's crazy that they end up joining the oddities.
Facts.
Both of them.
Facts. Before that, oh, you didn't know. Yo ass better call somebody. They're getting a ton of heat.
You just murdered two men last week, even though they came back from out of nowhere.
Right? You murdered them last week. And they came back at the end of the show, but we go focus on the fact for 20 years that you murdered them.
Yep, and then everyone who was talking was like, oh, these guys. Oh my God, I can't believe it, blah, blah, blah. Right. And I'm over here like, bro, they're fine. We
right, they're fine.
They're resting now. They're resting. They're healing.
Shit, Jerry was back on his heel bullshit, I guess, because he saw they were fine. Jerry's like, oh, look at these guys.
Having fun.
Road Dogg is like, hey, this stage looks real familiar. You know what I'm saying? And Billy's like, hey, we had so much fun doing what we did last week. I feel like we should do it again.
Burn floor and all.
So they bring out another dumpster. Road Dogg calls it the Cactus Jack Condominium.
That's fucked up.
He says, let's go to last week. The tragic crash of Flight 666.
Yep. And he was calling the ramp, who was it? Ramp 69 or something?
Yeah. Ramp 69. Which, these guys are made for DX.
Yep, definitely.
They run the dumpster off the stage once again. And you know, the debris splashes all over. They repeat the scene, only this time it's revealed that there's crash test dummies inside the dumpsters.
They're blow-up dolls.
Yeah, they're blow-up dolls. And Road Dogg
says... Jerry Lawler called them crash test dummies, but he knew damn well.
Jerry Lawler knew what these things were.
Yep. that, Jerry, you an evil motherfucker.
He just cleaned it up.
You a sick nigga.
He probably knew... I can't even say that one. I'm going to clean you up a little bit.
I think Jim Ross was the one going, oh, those look very familiar.
Yeah, those look familiar, I must say.
Oh, you know what that is. And you know, you knew because then afterwards they jump down and they start like pretending to do CPR. And they do the whole game. God damn it, we have to save them. We're their only hope.
Come on. Should have Sonny out there crying again.
Then fucking Road Dogg started sticking his finger.
Right? Come on, damn you. Get up.
in the hole. I'm like, bruh. Oh, that's gross, man.
That's how you know they went goofy with last week's segment. They was immediately able to make fun of it.
I hope, oh God, fucking, I just remember Sonny. And they kind of made fun of it because they were doing all the crying and bullshit.
Right? Gotta help these guys.
Our fallen comrades.
And Road Dog says, if there's anything left of Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie, they can show up in No Way Out and we'll sweep up the remains. And they walk off. This was them cementing the Outlaws as a top heel act, and it worked well. Mm-hmm. It worked very, very well. These guys are definitely at the top of the card right now. Then we go to the Boricuas once again with China in the back. They head into a room to continue the search. They break off from China to go into a specific room. Yep. But then we see Stone Cold run up right behind them. He closes the door. Fucking puts the chain around it and locks it up.
Then he goes, dun, 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 dun. Hey, Boricuas. Hey.
Get your asses over here.
They run over. They're like, oh, you motherfucker. Ah, and they're trying to get out. Hey, have fun, vatos. And then he just fucking pulls off. And I'm like, bro, that's the wrong crew of Spanish motherfuckers. That's Mexicans, bro.
Those are Puerto Ricans, bro.
Those are Puerto Ricans. God damn, we should have said puñeta or some shit like that, at least. God damn it.
Someone teach Austin Acho that.
Cacho cabrón, all that good shit. You know what am saying?
I supposed to call him? A puñeta?
¿Cuál son cabrones? Cabrón, that.
So then China comes back and she sees what has happened. She's like, oh, shit. And she's pissed off.
Yeah, she's pissed.
Yeah.
She can't get the locks off either. That's the worst part.
Right? China, unfortunately, is the only heel with a brain.
Yep.
All the other heels get caught and they fuck up her plans.
Yep. Everywhere she goes, she's the brains of the operation.
Right? And the others always get fucked over somehow.
She's definitely Yoshi.
Facts.
We over here getting caught up in dumb shit. She over here like,
we got locked in a room.
God damn, I'll be there in like 20 minutes. God fucking idiots. Right?
That was us. Yo, Yoshi, they locked us in the room. God damn it.
Now I gotta go find these idiots.
Now we got goddamn Maryland. He's back, Maryland Dust. Then the fucking fake Beautiful People theme is back.
Oh, at least fucking, they didn't have fucking Marvelous Mark Merrill fucking the whole time going,
the beautiful people. They kept it the instrumental. I guess Vince was like, don't do that shit again now.
you're fucking awful. You can't sing fucking Savior. You look like Little Richard. You don't sound like Little Richard. God damn.
God damn, pal. So they come out. The damn Beautiful People rip off. Sable is crazy over. So Merrill sends her away.
Mm-hmm.
The Maryland Dust is taking on Thrasher, Headbanger Thrasher.
Headbanger Bill.
He comes back with a spine buster, and then Sable, she decides, you know what? Fuck it, I'm coming back. And she comes back outside and gets a big pop.
Yep.
So then Goldust and Luna, they see her, they're like, get the fuck out of here. Luna runs up, like, what are you doing here? Get the hell out of here. And then Sable has suddenly decided, I've had enough of this shit. And she slaps the shit out of Goldust, and Thrasher rolls him up and gets the pinfall, and he wins.
That was it.
So then, as Sable goes up the ramp, fucking Merrill and Luna are yelling at her, and then Luna gets in her face, and then Sable is like, oh, word? Well, then you too, bitch. And she slaps Luna. And then Sable is like, you know what? Yeah. Being empowered feels good. Fuck you.
Yep. Fuck y'all.
And then Jared was like, that's good for Sable. She's had enough of this.
They've been treating her like an intern, I believe they said.
Yeah. So, yeah, it looks like Sable has finally had enough. She's standing up for herself. And the crowd, they love it. They're not a moment too soon, as far as they're concerned. Don't be keeping Sable away from our eyes. We got DX coming down to the ring. All business. They are pissed off. Shawn Michaels grabs the mic. He says, this Sunday night, it's No Way Out of Texas. It's D-Generation X and the New Age Outlaws versus Owen Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Cactus Jack, and Chainsaw Charlie. He says, if you think you gotta wait till Sunday for me to take back what's mine, you got another thing coming.
Cause you the got another thing coming.
He waits for absolutely nobody. He says, Sunday, you got an ass whooping coming from HBK, but right now, you got something that belongs to me. So you bring your ass out here right now, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Austin comes down with the belt. He's swinging it around like a weapon, like the strap to make sure. Come on, you bastards.
Oh, my God. Steve Rollins.
Steve Rollins. The original mosher.
The Stone original Steve Metal.
Yeah, Steve Metal.
Didn't he put out an album called Stone Cold Metal?
Yeah, sure.
Of all his favorite songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the ring. The Outlaws come down, but even they won't get in because Austin's just swinging that belt around like, I dare you. Get your ass in this ring. So they're all advancing slowly. Mm-hmm. But then we hear the chainsaw go off. And Gerald's like, you hear the chainsaw?
So hold on.
Where is he?
And then when the New Age Outlaws come out, so like everybody you starting, you feel them when they're coming out. Boom, boom. Now we got Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack. And they coming out with a goddamn, yeah, they rip open the ring.
And they come from the ring. Know,
fucking Cactus Jack pops out. Boom. Chainsaw Charlie pops out. Boom. What the fuck? And then Owen Hart was also there.
They did do that.
They did him so dirty.
It's Stone Cold. It's Chainsaw Charlie. It's Cactus Jack. Oh, Owen's Hart here too. Yeah, Owen's there too. Oh my God.
They did him so dirty.
Man's fucking, always was in street clothes and his flannel and his jeans.
Yeah, DX gets their whole Are You Ready and the whole nine. Steve Austin comes out swinging a goddamn title belt. The New Age Outlaws come out trying to fucking fix the situation so that Steve Austin don't kill nobody. But still, you know what I'm saying? Steve Austin's still going nuts. Then you got Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack coming, ripping through the ring and fucking craziness. And everything is going crazy. And Owen Hart is here.
And Owen is here too.
They did his ass so dirty, bro.
They did.
Damn, bro. Fuck.
I even wrote in my notes, Owen Hart also appears because he is in the match.
So they did him so dirty.
Like, that's literally it. They was like, you can tell they had an idea for everybody. And it was just like, oh, well, Owen's in the mat, so we got to get him in there somehow.
Yeah, he just comes in right after. You couldn't have had Owen come out for the fuck of it.
Like, just hit his music or some shit.
Yeah, like while Steve Austin was like in the ring doing the gimmick. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Then he comes out, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then they start trying to fight off DX, but the DX is too many. And then all of a sudden you hear the yeah, yeah, yeah. And then then it happens.
Yeah.
Nope, just and Owen Hart.
But again,
DX, New Age Outlaws, Stone Cold, Chainsaw Charlie, Cactus Jack, and then Owen Hart.
It just shows what type of time they are on towards anyone who got any type of love for Bret Hart right now, man.
Yep.
It's nasty. Yep. It's nasty.
You a second race citizen in this company now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. B. And with that said, you know, that the big stare down pops off and Raw goes off the air.
Yep.
So that's Monday Night Raw, February 9th.
We didn't get no Raw extras. In there.
No Raw extras, no extra attitude or anything crazy. We just go straight.
Bro, they did us dirty.
Into the paper. Sunday's the pay-per-view. We got a pay-per-view coming up to watch, so that'll be fun.
That's going to be fun.
It's interesting. Yeah, there was a lot I thought about after this show was over. Gave me a lot to think about. I mean, I think, you know, I talked a little bit about how No Way Out, they started this tradition of the February pay-per-view, and it's always been the center of a bit of a debate on whether doing a big show between Rumble and Mania either dilutes the build or it helps the build. And watching this show, I tend to get the good of it, but I also see where it can miss.
Yeah.
Like, you got, like, I think the multi-man feud with DX and the Outlaws and you know, that Austin and Chainsaw Charlie, I think that is good because I think it's a good intermediary for Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helping the Outlaws a ton, obviously.
Hell yeah, it's making them over.
Yeah, so.
As heels, at least.
Yeah, in terms of that, I think that's a good little in-between because you can't go full-on into Austin versus Michaels for Mania right now because you still got some time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got stuff like Kane and Vader, which I like Kane and Vader as a feud. That's a good little place for Kane to be because he can't do anything with Undertaker at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then even Sable, like they're slowly giving Sable moments here and there, week in, week out, as they build her up because she's popular. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand of it, you got the bottom of the card where you got you got shit like the NWA. You got Don Callis doing poetry on a platform.
Like they nailed all the stuff with Austin.
Yeah.
Right. They nailed all the stuff with the New Age Outlaws. They nailed all the stuff with Cactus Jack. They nailed, you know.
God damn. Stone Cold.
Stone Cold. Yeah, so they nailed all the stuff with you know, with all that stuff, the press conference and all that shit, and, you know, the Vader gimmick and, you know, all that stuff. Nailed. But then where they failed, fucking NWA was fucking corny bullshit. Fucking Don Callis, shut up. Mom, we got cruiserweights at home.
It really does show that you know what they used to say was the top of the card is where WWF killed it at, but the middle of the card is where WCW was the better company.
Yeah.
And this was one of those scenarios where you could really see that. Yeah, they when it comes to the top of the card, they know what the fuck they're doing here in WWF.
Although Phineas and Henry Godwin, Henry Godwin and
PCO Pierre
went ape shit, even though they went ham.
Yeah, they had a little match. I ain't even gonna lie to you.
Even that little match, it was just like, why?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like most cruiserweight matches, when you hear them, you're like, oh, that's a nice little, you know, grouping of people. That's dope. But here, this shit was just like, why? For what reason? Just random guys, just get Quebecers. And this is why they ended up doing other shit with everybody else.
Yeah.
Think about it. Quebecers are gone by next year. Fucking Henry Godwin is gone. And you left is with Phineas, who ends up becoming Midian.
It's like we've been talking about. Like, this is really, we're really seeing like that transitional period before we go into like true Attitude Era, where it's that last period of those holdout guys that they were trying to do shit
from the new generation. Yeah.
And some people they switch up, and some people they don't do anything more with.
Yep.
So we're getting closer and closer to those points.
They could have done some like backwoods, kind of like Wyatt's kind of deal with them. And I feel like they kind of like missed the mark on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead, they had fucking Midian join the Ministry B team with fucking Viscera.
Yeah. I guess that's why, because their spooky shit was the Ministry. You know, nobody going to step on Taker's toes.
Nah, but you could always have. The fact that they brought Kane out, in my head, will always give me that vibe of like, you can always have more spooky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn.
But even at this
and
point,
it could have added to like that whole story. Like, it always bugged me that they never, like, even though the Brood joined the Ministry for like 2 seconds, it always bugged me that they never capitalized on what good storytelling they could have done with that. They could have made like this crazy background story where, like, I guess Gangrel was like one of the guys who like Undertaker like took under his wing and whatever and whatnot, and then that's why he's now taking Edge and Christian under his wing, and they could have done stuff with him. They did shit,
man. Mm-hmm. And they did say initially that the Brood they was a vehicle for Gangrel, but eventually they changed their minds on that and was like, well, Edge, we like Edge actually.
Yep. And then they added the Hardy Boys to kind of like try to like remedy that. And again, they didn't capitalize. They could have done something really cool with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess it is what it is with the idea guys you had going on. They weren't going to want more than one, you know, spooky gothic group.
Yeah. It's a multitude of things, I think. It's that. And I think, like we said, Gangrel was a victim of being there, a side product basically of the Hardys and Edge and Christian, like getting over.
Yep.
Because once they got over doing their stuff, we don't need no spooky shit for this. Just let them fucking kill each other with ladders.
Yep.
And then that was it.
Yeah. I mean, they could have just kept bringing in people and just naming it the Brood. Yeah. And just kept getting guys over with it. It could have been a nice little vehicle for a whole bunch of guys. But I would have done at the end of the week, at the end of the like feud, what I would have done is I would have had Edge and Christian and the Hardys team up. And yeah. It would have gave them even more. You know what I'm saying? I would have had them team up and like had them face off against a whole bunch of these guys that were like in big old groups. I would have had the Brood be something cool, but I mean, they never capitalized on that. It is what it is.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, 98 Raw, an interesting time as always. As usual, I was reading little bits and pieces of old observers to see what was going on back then. Once again, every observer I read, Dave is continuing to note more and more details on Sean's injury. This week, he noted that, again, like he's been saying, Sean is being kept out of the ring until Mania. And again, he's saying that, you know, Sean is hurt and he's dealing with various injuries is the quote he gave this week.
He also said drugged the fuck up, man.
Yeah. He also said that Pete Rose is expected to be at WrestleMania, but they're not sure what capacity, which popped me because I was like, how about that?
I'm here like, that's got to be Kane. Yeah.
He said Johnny Ace was at the show this week, old John Laurinaitis. Mm. They said he was there as a liaison of sorts between WWF and All Japan Pro Wrestling because they wanted to do a bit of a partnership. Ah. But All Japan was weary because they didn't feel like WWF had enough respect for enough of their guys to really do anything of substance.
They didn't. WWF at the time was WWF.
Yes.
They were about them. And then they got Taka Michinoku, and they're calling him Taka Michinoku.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Kai and Tai, and they're treating them choppy, choppy your pee-pee. So they were right. They were absolutely right.
Other interesting observer note here. Jesse Ventura is considering running for governor of Minnesota.
Yep. Didn't he and Vince still have a falling out?
Mm-hmm. As he and Vince had heat at the time, but as we know, Jesse Ventura eventually does become the governor of Minnesota.
And then he does come on Raw.
And then he eventually does come back as the governor of Minnesota. So, interesting to see that this was the rumblings of that here in the Observer. And then the ratings. Raw did a 3.2. Nitro did a 4.6.
Damn.
Thunder did a 3.7.
Damn!
The fact that Raw is losing to Thunder consistently is crazy here because, like, Thunder has just started. It's a brand new show, essentially.
Yep, it's heat. That's all it is.
It is, but it's like at this
it's
point.
It's Shotgun Saturday Night at this point. But yeah.
It is. It's Shotgun Saturday Night that has the benefit of WCW being super hot.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Their ratings are so high that they're better than Raw's right now.
Sting, Hogan, Warrior, fucking Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
They're on fire right now.
Spoiler alert, though, that trend don't last for too much longer. But right now, WCW can say, we got two shows doing better than WWF right now.
Until after Mania.
That's actually exactly when it turns around.
Yep. Once we y'all know what happened. But you know what I'm saying? We're trying to tell a story here, so... Yes. We'll get to that when we get to that.
It's interesting times here in the wacky landscape of pro wrestling in early 1998. So much going on. Reading about the Mike Tyson stuff was mad interesting because I was like, oh, word? It was the WrestleMania check?
Yeah. Don King was doing bad business.
Yeah, very, very bad business.
Yeah. I could have got paid how much and you took how much? Get the fuck.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, crazy, crazy stuff here.
This has been Banter Club Retro. We've said all we've got to say about this episode, so teach. Let them know where to find us.
Oh, but of course, you already know where to find us. Find us on Instagram at RambleMania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Find us on Twitter at RambleMania. Facebook.com/RambleMania Show. Also find our group there, RambleMania Show's Banter Club, where we and the other wrestlers, podcasters, and everybody we associate with post all our goings on and all that's going down.
Mm-hmm.
As far as audio goes, wherever audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast. Everywhere your podcasts are found, search RambleMania Show or Banter Club. As far as the visuals, right here, twitch.tv/RambleManiaShow. We're on Spotify video. We're on YouTube. Search RambleMania Show or Banter Club. But when you get here, like the videos, click subscribe, and click the bell. So that when a new content drops, it goes straight to you.
Yeah.
And as for me personally, find me on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. And find me on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
TJ the Great 2.
You damn right.
You can find me on Instagram at the number 6, the letter X, the letter L. That is at 6XL. You can find me on Twitter at SIIXX. Ain't I great? That is at SIIXX. You're all ready. You can find us on TikTok, where we're going to post little funny clips of all these little videos that we make for all of year. With all of this being said, I've been the Angel of Death 6XL. He's been TJ the Great. And we're going to leave all you guys with a little something we like to call Leia. Too sweet.
Too sweet.
And a good fight.
And a good night.
Man, R.I.P. Mills Lane, man. This whole segment. I want a good, clean fight.